I just feel love just kind of vibrating here tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. We are so glad Brother and Sister Dunn are both here with us tonight. Been looking forward to their visit. I want him to come tonight, and I want him to preach to you as God would speak through him to you. And I want you just to respond like you do and worship the Lord with him. Brother Dunn, we're glad you're here tonight.
And everybody said, God bless our pastor. You look real good. I'm sure you come dressed for the occasion. Real sober living and intoxicated worship, you might. Just anything can happen. I've seen some excitement breaking out, and I know you've had a bottle somewhere. But pass around the bottle. Don't be selfish. God love you. Everybody said, God bless our pastor and his wife. He's been here for a little over a year and a half, something like that. And my visit is a little overdue, but I'll make up for it. I'll make him very sorry of what he's, you know, asked me to preach tonight. You're used to hearing some real old-fashioned stuff, and you might tonight. You can't tell. Somebody said they knew me a long time ago. Well, my hair is still black, but I lost my teeth. And some people, you know, still have their teeth and lost their hair. But you still have the Holy Ghost and a good smile on your face. Now, really, this is not color back. That's a little oil and a little pump water. And it's my natural hair. It's a little two-tone, but then you can't hit that. Time will change the color of your hair even. You're looking real well. God loves you. Look like you have the Holy Ghost. Brother Sheridan, he is a revivalist. And he visited us many times in Miami. Our folks love him. And he's done a great job across this nation. We appreciate that. And he's here. And you're here. If I were you, I'd keep him a long time. He can't tell. We're not going to have an election, but it wouldn't hurt every once in a while to shake his hand and say, look, we appreciate you around here. And I'm sure that'll bless your heart, bless his. It's nice to have a good pastor. Many years ago, when I first got acquainted with this part of the country, Brother W.T. Hemphill was your minister. The old-timers, you younger ones, just have him in your memory. But what a man, and what a leader, and what a wonderful builder. And this part of the world and throughout the nation, his name rings across the country loud and clear. And he was a Bible scholar among Bible scholars. He didn't have to bow to nobody. And he left some tracks that's hard to follow. Thank God for men that's men, tall men. Somebody said one time they knew the difference between in the preaching bracket, the heavyweight and the lightweight, and the bantamweight. Well, I didn't know such thing. It went like that, you know. But anyhow, they've got it all figured out. One of our greatest missionaries baptized somewhere between 40,000 and 50,000 people, Columbia, South America. He refused to take any credit. He said, some folks claim they're two before. He said, really, he said, I'm a two for nothing. I don't look at the ministry and esteem them as such. They're, in my book, they're great men, all of them. But it's good to take an humble attitude and not go around taking the credit for what you have done or haven't done. But men that are still in this battle and carrying the truth and never missed a day, and it's a glorious thing to watch the changes, people. And I come in on the parking lot. Heaven only knows how many cars you have now. But we used to have this many people and a lot more sometime, and not nearly that many cars. I reckon we just jammed in, crammed in, and whatever we done, we got to church anyhow. We're not going to turn the pages back. God's going to help us to do more in the future than we've ever done. Now, before you sit down, remember one, two things. History teachers sometimes get in trouble. And you have an example of that in two chapters in your Bible. Stevens was quite a historian. And he didn't give an altar call with sweet words and a good soft song. He called them some bad names, and they killed him. And he had a colleague that was one of the seven, and he went down to Samaria, preached Christ, and had a revival. They loved him, I mean to tell you. So while there's war going on in one place, there's a revival somewhere else. I believe you want a revival here, is that right? Everybody said here. All right. God love you. You can be seated. Now, if you have a habit standing while people read, you can do whatever you want to do about that. But let me say this. I don't have any axe to grind. I'm not a has-been, or used to be, or going to be. And we still right in the thick of the great work of God and contacts across this nation. God's been very good to us. And I thank God for every minute that I've spent. A few short months, 52 years in this field. And I haven't even given the slightest thought of what it would be like to retire. I don't even know how to spell a word. I mean, when it comes to applying it. So put a smile on your face. Once you get locked into this thing, you have something going for you that will keep you. I don't know what the brother said something about when you receive this, you have a great package delivered all in one, healer, teacher, and merchant, and the whole nine yards. Well, he's been my physician. I don't know what an aspirin tablet tastes like. That's different, isn't it? God's been good to me. I've never had a physical in my life. My wife's a good cook. I've got a few pounds too many. I'm not planning on quitting eating her cooking, though. If something happens to her, I don't know what. I'll have to go on a fast. Talking about eating. But you see, God is that kind of a God. He'll go right along with you. And He'll help you when you need help. And I thank God for my teaching that I received back there the many years ago. And I've tried to apply it every minute of my life. And it's a marvelous thing to stay in touch with a giver. And He is your Father. And He do love you. And the book said He would hold your hands and walk with you, even talk with you. And He do speak the language of the soul. There's no question about Him knowing your whereabouts and who you are. He even numbers the hair that's on your head. And so it's a great thing. He's a good God. I don't have no quarrel with Him. He's been good to me. And I appreciate Him. I've talked to men that come to God, never had anything, and the way they actually never did intend to. And faith teaching will put them in a different bracket, different category, different income bracket. And if you listen to what your pastor has to say to you, don't worry about the class of people that comes in. Try to worry about the class that stays in. Mr. Nobody, God makes a son and daughter of God out of them. And He hears their cry. And He knows what He can do with them if they'll listen to Him. And that is the difference. Coming from where to becoming a son and daughter of God and living for God in this wonderful, wonderful church He set up in the earth to operate until He comes back after it. And I like it that way. I do have a few scriptures on my heart, and I guess I've said enough. And before daylight, something woke me up, and I laid it off on God. Me and the devil have a time sometime, you know. I don't know much about the rascal, but he can sure talk loud sometime. But then the Lord, when you know more about God than you do the devil, you're really getting along all right. I don't know much about the devil. I started living for God when I was 16, and I got pretty rough up to that point. But I didn't have time to get too mean. But I've had plenty of opportunities to get mean after I got in the church. But when that evil spirit comes around knocking on your door, you know how to handle that. The Lord loves you real good. I was here the last time I was here. Some folks traveled halfway across this nation to meet me. And they knew me from a way back, thought they did. And I'm sure they did. And I only had a few minutes to spend with him. I said, "Dear, how many waiting? I'm not that popular, but some folks had already come from a different direction." So when they got back home after they enjoyed their few minutes that I could talk with them, don't get the idea that I'm rich or poor or don't know what I'm saying. But they wrote me a card, Brother Surety, and it said, "In a world where everything is a copy, you remain an original." I took that as a compliment. I did. I took that as a compliment. I said, "I'm sorry about that. You folks come, a lot of plans already made, and you know me. I've got to make the round, and it'll be nice. So I'll be going somewhere when I leave here, no doubt." Thank you for that compliment. We're starting to read now from the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. Thank you. "When he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" I'm sure that God would be satisfied right now if we would acknowledge that this same writer said in the 18th chapter that where two or three are gathered together in his name, your pastor mentioned that a while ago, he said, "There I am in your midst." Everybody said, "Jesus is here." And the Bible said, "When he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" Now, as much as Jesus come to church tonight, then I could read this in this light. "And when he was come into Monroe, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" Somebody said, "You changed the reading." Well, if I didn't believe that Jesus was here tonight, I wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be here either.
That's right.
Then that golden text of what they used to use in offering thanks, you know, Hebrews, whatever. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now, if he is the same today as he was yesterday, and then he is here, and you're here, I believe you can talk with him tonight. And I believe he can talk with you. All right. We're going to move on in. "And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus.'" Everybody said, "This is Jesus."
"This is Jesus,
the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrowed the tables and the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, 'It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things which he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." You can be seated. I have a few things we're going to talk to you about to start. I don't know if the Lord blesses you real good with some intoxicated worship. You get drunk and go after it, because we do that sometime too. It's really a pleasure to know that one day Jesus Christ walked into a temple, that he was no doubt circumcised when he was 8 days old and went to church there quite often. In his mind, he looked things over, being the God that he is of the Old Testament and the great eternal Spirit manifest in the flesh. And he could see deep in the heart of men and women who went to the temple, who went to hear the priest. And it was his business to look things over. And he went there many times and made mental notes that what he was going to do with that same temple one day. And then the Bible said one day that he walked in the temple. And it was in that temple where he began to do the work on the inside of the temple. I heard one of the song leaders tonight, Brother Franks, talked about what God had done for him inside. And I'm not as much interested in the outward man tonight for a few moments as I am for what God has done for you and myself on the inside. If you know what I'm saying, customs was broke and traditions was upset and seats of authority and all the things that was going on for many hundreds of years. Jesus Christ come to turn it around and straighten it out and run a church like He wanted it run. And when He got through with it, the Bible said, and hear that, the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. The same blind men probably crossed the hills of Judea many hundreds of years coming to the temple and was turned away with disappointment and sorrow. And I'm talking about generation now after generation. And one time they went back and the great God of the universe had moved in and cleansed the temple. And then when the blind and the lame come to the temple, they found inside of the temple what they needed for their healing. And then not only did they receive their healing, but their children was crying in the temple. What makes your heart happy is when you see newborn babes, and we heard about it tonight, crying in the temple, filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of God working in their life. Oh, thank God and thank God. Now then, we're coming down the line. We're going to work. 10 things that Jesus came to do tonight. He's here tonight. He's the same as He was yesterday. He's the same that walked in the temple and cleansed it. And I have 10 things that came to me at the daylight hour, and I made notes on it. I don't have to have these notes. I only did that in my private study while you was waiting on this end of the line. I don't know who was in prayer before daylight this morning. I'm not always in prayer at that time. But it's a wonderful thing to remember a man by the name of Hemphill. And he taught us when I was a boy, if that's a good time to gather your manna and go out early and get in touch with God. Amen. All right, warm up a little bit. Give the Lord a little praise. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God. Amen and amen. Glory. Now, don't forget, He never came to brag on the building, the landscape, the architecture. He had been in that building so many times Himself and watched how they carried on. And the more they carried on in their tradition, the further they got away from what Jesus wanted the church to be like. And I like that. If you don't believe that God's looking at you tonight, you walk into His presence and He's here right now. It's a difficult thing for a sinner to sit through one of these services and feel what we feel and ever be the same man when you leave here. Amen. And God help that we keep it that way. Pray every day that God's power will stay here, where you can hear the babies crying in the temple and the lame walking and the blind seeing. That's the way God wanted it to be. Hallelujah. Now then, number one, when He come into the temple, He went to work on our minds. Now He's here tonight. These next three things that I'm going to talk to you about is His work on the inside of the temple. You fighting wars in your mind, young and old. You're fighting against the satanic forces that's out there and pressures from every walk of life. And this warfare goes on. Even you wake up at night fighting wars. Many people wonder why that old people and young as well die in their sleep. And the beautiful way to go, they claim. Let me tell you about that. When you're having a dream that's so real to you, that's the thing that causes the heart to beat so fast and get out of control, and many people die in their sleep. Now, that's not about right. That is right. Now, hear me. When Jesus Christ moves into the temple, He wants control of the mind. Now, that is the large and mighty thing that God put within a man. That's the next thing and part of God. We are part dirt, We're part human, but we also are part God. When a man was made out of dirt, God breathed in his nostrils. He became a living soul. Part of God went in that body. Part of God went into him. Now then, when he enters the temple, I want your mind. I don't want it running all over Monroe tonight. I don't want it running down the street somewhere. I don't want no plans going on, God said. I want you somehow to let me get a hold of your mind. I want something out of you tonight. Amen. Tonight. Everybody said tonight. Now then, number two. Work on your spirit. Now, tell me, because these are closely associated. I know what it's like for the human spirit to prophesy. The human spirit to sing. The human spirit to become so proud and cocky to want to run God's church the way you want to run it. The human spirit is one thing. God's spirit is another thing. You can have a human experience and declare that God had his way if you're deceived and don't know the difference. But you can have a spiritual experience that will erase the human experience and allow your spirit to be mellow in the hand of God to be used. Now then, for God to work on your mind, that's inside. Work on your spirit, that's inside. What did he do when he entered the temple? He didn't stay outside and polish the door. He went inside turning things upside down and turning it around. Come on! Now then, hear me. Number three, he came to heal you. Heal your spirit and your mind. You see, it's not enough to go to a physician. I have statistics that would, you know them, probably read them. There are thousands and even millions of people go to a physician. Big name doctors. And they sit there and listen to everything he's got to say. And go home and never do a thing that he says to them to do. They'll go so far as to take a prescription and go home and fill it and never take a drop of the medicine. This is proven by statistics. Many people will get a prescription and never go have it filled. Are you hearing what I'm trying to tell you? That when God walks in this service tonight and he's here tonight, the main thing God wants is your mind. He wants your spirit. And he's got healing for your spirit and your mind tonight. Praise God. Our spirit many times is out visiting while church is going on. You can cut me off in your inner ear and not hear a thing I'm saying tonight. You can have plans that's so tight and you're under so much pressure until you won't allow God to move up and down these aisles. And I watched the way your pastor led this service. I knew what he was doing. Entertain God. He come to meet with you tonight. He come here to meet your need tonight. He come here to help you tonight. Praise God. Now then, number four. He come tonight to work on your body. Now, everybody don't believe that he's interested in a man's body. I can tell you that Jesus Christ, in my book, was all man. He man. And he could stand up under pressure as a human being. He could hurt and be hurt. And become tired, dusty, hungry, sleepy. And he did all of that under just being a human being. But Jesus Christ was so interested in the man's body that he would heal an old bleeding cancer, a leper, a cripple that had never walked. And I've seen the power of healing sweep through a church and no prayer line going on. And I've seen paralytic strokes. Are you hearing me tell you? And the power of a mighty move of God's Holy Ghost stuff. And don't you know the more that you give God your mind, your soul, your thought, your spirit, your understanding, your meditation, and everything goes with it, the more God will do for you as an individual. Now at Pentecost, when they were gathered, they carried out the command of God. Go there and stay until. And they did. And the Bible tells you plainly in the first few verses of Acts 2 that they were in one place and one accord. Oh, yeah. What was they praying for? They were praying for a mighty move of the Spirit of God. Where was it going to fall? It was going to fall when they got into that one accord place. Amen. Come on. You're not going to get nowhere with God. The Bible, James says that a double-minded man not to expect to receive anything from God. You've got to arrive at a place where Jesus said, love me with all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. And then you're getting somewhere now. Come on. The mind of a man can travel and expand the universe by trillions upon trillions of miles, so scientists tell us. God in heaven knows where your mind can travel to. But God said, I'm going to meet you down there at that church house tonight. And two or three of you will come. I'll be right there in your midst. And I'll do anything you ask me to. Yahoo! Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Number five, he come to forgive the spirit and the body's involvement. Now here, I'm not going to detour and start meddling. But you see, your mind can get out there in a gutter and stay until the Holy Ghost has to shake you a little bit. What you got on your mind? And you see, we're talking about what goes on in the temple. Somebody said you come to lecture the church. This is not just for the church. There's somebody in this building tonight that needs the Holy Ghost more than you ever thought you ever needed the Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying one thing out of line but what will come right upon your life and be a partner to you, walk with you, talk with you, hold your hands up, and keep your mind stayed upon the Lord and the power of God's Spirit. Oh, yes. Now then, to forgive. Now, a few years ago, I don't know how many, I was called to do a conference somewhere in the western states. And I, on the way out there, I don't know when you fly in and get in a storm, seemed like about 5 or 6 miles up there, you get awful close to God. And you'd rather be on the ground sometime. And the Spirit started talking to me, and I made a note or two about X number of things, the greatest thing that Jesus ever did. And I mean, that's according to my opinion, not yours, oh no. But one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing, that God Almighty ever done in the form of a man, when He walked among men, was to forgive your sins. I mean, you never would have got the Holy Ghost unless God forgive you. Hear me tell you that. That God Almighty don't clash sin like we clash it. Everlast living, one of us wasn't worth a dime when we was out there in this world. Living like the devil. When God called us, He called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Don't you know? Then God moved down and forgive us. Our spirit and our body was involved. And I like this because it's very important to me. Every time you get down to pray, if you really touch God, then the Bible tells you from prayer to prayer, you're rapture ready. Every time the priest went into the holiest of holiest, he come out of there with an answer for all of the multitudes that's out there waiting for him. Are you listening to me? But before he prayed for them, he cared a sacrifice and therefore his own faults and mistakes. If you're a wise man, when you get down to pray, you sure won't start bragging on how good you've been. All right, now, come on. You start telling God, look, I missed it here and I missed it there, and I would absolutely be a failure without your divine help. And then first news you know, you get God on your side, and He starts talking back at you. And that forgiving love is there like a father and his son, a mother or a daughter. That power's there to forgive, bless you. I love that. Now the Spirit, somebody said, well, my body went there and my spirit went to church. We got to get this thing together. It won't work. And you know, it's very easy to, you know. Well, let's not park there. Let's talk about it a little bit because we've got other things to talk about on down further. And number six, I want this to sink in because this is something God works on every hour, on the hour. And that is the sin of commission and the sin of omission. And I don't have no trouble in my pastoral work and even among preachers to speak of, percentage-wise, I'm talking about, percentage-wise. I never allow one little apple in the barrel that's spoiled to back off and curse the whole barrel of apples. If you're wise, you'll take the apple out of there and go ahead and consume the rest of it. You hear me? And that's a God-given thing. Oh, God, help us. Now, the sin of commission. We're not bad about robbing banks and lying and stealing and doing this and that and the other. But now then, one brother already confessed tonight in the choir about an omission. Maybe one in the congregation as well. Now, you can hang things on a nail and say another time, procrastinate. And just become a champion at it and put it off and put it off. And first news you know, God begins to take account of that. Hello, church. Come on, everybody say hallelujah. Now, when you begin to talk about the things that's in the temple and around the temple and right down where we live, this thing is just omission. Now, one of the things that made Jesus Christ angry, and if you let me use the expression, made him mad, is when they were assigned to do a job, even give them talents to do it with, and do a good job, and then had nothing offered to him in the end, bottom line, but excuses, excuses, excuses. The Bible said God was angry. Come on. When we make up our mind that we've got the Holy Ghost, and we are witnesses to Him, we have been healed, we have been delivered, we have been anointed, we have been revived, we have been changed, we have been blessed, we have walked with God, we have talked with God, we have been healed, both soul and body, bless God. Come on, church. Amen. Then we've got something to tell the world. They never hear nothing like that. When we go to church, we leave here talking about how good we feel, how great it is, and how mighty it is. You ought to be in there. Thank God. Brother, the world's waiting to hear that. They're waiting to see that. That's why when you walk in one of these services, when it's all happening, they don't stay back there long. They get up here pretty quick. That's all right. The Lord bless you. Now, this sin of omission, I would brand that as one of the things that's it's held us back in our ranks. Now, blind men made tremendous witnesses because Jesus said, well, don't go say a word about it. That's good psychology. If you'll read all about the healings that He done, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that some of them went out and He told them not to do it. And for many reasons, local reasons and other reasons. And I would imagine it was more for our benefit. Don't you hate to hear one of these guys come through the country and send all your tithes and offerings over here at Temple So-and-So where they have them gold hands up there about 750 foot in the air? Radio pastors and all that. Don't it make you sick way down in your heart? Well, say, Brother Dan, you've never been taught no better. Well, then, if you haven't heard it before, please listen to me, that when you come to this place, everything you ever thought about needing is right here in God's house. You've been taught that all your life. You know that to be the truth. And you meet with God. God Almighty is not going to turn you down for nothing. He hears your cry. He reads your thoughts. He understands what's on your mind. He knows your future. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel my religion right now. And God help us in the name of God to stand on our 2 feet and be counted. And I mean under any kind of circumstances. And when the Apostle Peter said, well, I'll die before, Jesus said, this rooster crows 2 or 3 times that you'll deny me. Oh, no. Amen. Then turn a page or two. You'll find that same fellow said, I don't even know him. That same fellow that went to Pentecost tarried until he got the Holy Ghost. You never read of nothing like that anymore. You can't live for God like you ought to live until you're filled with God's Spirit. Come on, church, you know that. Staying full of the Spirit of God is your answer to overcome the things of this world that we need to overcome and the fight that's in the mind. Now then, to be led by the Spirit of God. As men as are led by it, they are the sons of God. Now, that's a marvelous thing when you think of God cleaning the temple and having its tremendous effect upon the spirit and mind, and then fill you with His Spirit, and then give you the opportunity to be led by that same Spirit, the thing that transformed you thing that made you who you are. If you want to see in all of your lifetime the church operate at its very best, it's when you're operating at your very best for the glory of God. Amen. And if you haven't been renewed in the Spirit of God and updated your experience with the Lord, you owe that to God before these lights go out tonight. You don't have to wait on God, I tell you. Shove over, He said, and I'll help you carry your load. He's right there by you. Come on. If you can believe what the book said, He's here tonight. Bless God. Amen. You don't have to put nothing off. He's here right now. He's able to do. He's able to help. And He will help. He won't. That's why He come to church. Amen. Oh, I feel all right now to be led by God's Spirit. Somebody said, well, that means that I don't have to be taught and I don't have to go to church. And come on. The Bible tells you about church going. You must go to the house of God. You must maintain the right spirit and have a teachable spirit. The next few points will deal with that. And number 8, this is, watch this. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you can be pastored. I like that. Now, Brother Pastor, excuse me, because I'm going to work a little bit here. And all you folks help me preach. What you say? Now, I'm going to preach a little, and I want you to help me preach a little. In my mind, I can't think of any greater institution on earth than what you're in. I listened to the singing. I heard the music. We're in the name of God in this city, Twin City, and from one end of the Washita River to the other and around the world. Would you ever hear it any better than you heard it here tonight? Amen. Not only did you hear it, you felt it. Praise God. And that great anointing of the Lord bubbling like a great overflowing river in your very soul. And that's what I'm talking about. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, you can be pastored. Amen. I had a call, Brother Shirley, hey, we're across this nation the other day. And I believe the party's come to see me on the other end of the line. And I said, in heaven's name, these people, he said, they X number of them, and they don't have a pastor. And said, they talk like they wanted just somebody to show up out of the blue and come down there and pastor. I said, is that right? How far are they from any other good church around there? Oh, not very far. You mean to tell me they're within driving distance, a matter of minutes away to a church where they already have a good church going and a good pastor? I said, that's right, but they won't want, yes, I said, they want one. They want a pastor they can boss. They don't want to be pastored. And my advice to you, son, write it off. And when God sends you somewhere, then God will give you a bunch of people that you can lead and a bunch of people you can pastor. Now, everybody said, praise the Lord. They are men and women whose spirit is not right, and they cannot be pastored. I like this next one. Now, number 9 is my candlestick. Pastor can feed you. Now, some of the benefits you reap as an inheritance when you come to God. And in Acts 20, in verse 28, it said, feed the church of God. Feed them. And the book tells you in an unmistakable way that Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ. And his great years of prosperity and plenty, he had warehouses, storehouses, and a key to every corn crib in Egypt, and the authority to unlock the door and meet the need of the world. I've never read one place in the Bible where Joseph ever turned anybody down. The only thing, Joseph stood at the door with a key in his hand and said, there's a nominal fee. And as long as they could pay the price, they could carry anything home that was in that storehouse. And the world was on starvation. Are you hearing me tell you? When you think in terms of the responsibility that rests upon a pastor in this 20th century, you better thank God every time you pray that when you come to the house of God, He's got a real meal cooked right off of the altars of God. And He's standing here feeding you. Thank God. Come on, church family. You know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Oh, Lord. And when you think about a man's ability to go into the 66 books, and thumb through chapter and verse on subject matter and drop the Word of God on you right when you need it, right the time you need it, and right where you need it. Oh, friend, that's worth your time to stop whatever you're doing and go to the house of God. Thank God. The inner man, are you hearing me tell you? The inner man. The Bible said in Colossians, is it not 4:6? For he said, because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your heart crying. Come on, Father. He's crying, Abba. He's crying. He's absolutely pleading with you. Feed me. Come on, I want to go. Feed me. Come on. Every man is crying out for something. Thank God. And now, being led with the Spirit in the temple of God where you find it all, then, bless God, the pastor's responsibility is to feed you. Now, I like what I'm saying because I never have went for a lot of things they call trickery and psychology and Pentecost. I know men who have spent a lot of their time studying psychology and how to use it and substitute that for honesty and pull tricks when you get in church service and make out like you're doing something you're not doing. I like it when it's just moving. Oh, it's here now. Come on, church. When it automatically moves, and you don't have to, you know, down about 30, 40 miles from here, we moved from Mississippi way back in the year 1924. And my mother kept the date alive, the 20th day of January to be exact. And we moved, it went to Winsboro. And we had an old well that you had to let the thing jig way down the well, and then you'd wind up the rope, you know, and get your water out of there for your number three shower and two pass and all that kind of stuff. Oh, you understand. You young folks wouldn't, but then... But when we got over here, we had a pump. And I learned what priming water meant. I never heard of no such as that. We didn't have it in Mississippi. All you had to do was let the bucket down with the rope, hit the bottom and pull it out. You had a bucket of water. But then there was a little can of water that was very important. And when that pump went, lost its prime, then you had to get on the end of that pump handle, and most of you know what I'm talking about. And you do this way and pour the water in. And I mean, and first as you know, you got that pump primed and it started flowing. Are you hearing me talk to you a little bit? Don't you hate to go around and every time you meet somebody, they've lost their prime and they had to get in the service and be primed. My mother would have whipped everybody on the hill and my dad jumped in on us too if we hadn't have caught that priming water first. I don't care if the house was burning down. That bucket of priming water had to be full and sitting over there out of the way where it couldn't be used. I don't care if ever a cow and a pasture was lowing and the dogs was barking and whatever was going on, bless God, you had to get that priming water and fix it, that reserve sitting over there. Don't you know what I'm trying to tell you? If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got a reserve. Amen. Will you? Oh, come on, church. The pieces, and I'll put some sunshine in there. And if you have become a pessimist, I'll make an optimist out of you before sundown. Hallelujah. Give me your mind. Give me your heart, he said. Let me do something with it. I want to do something with you. Glory! Come on, church family. Then heal your spirit and your mind. It's nothing like getting around a bunch of Holy Ghost people that talk right. Amen. Act right. See right. Think right. Read right. Walk right. Go to church right. Pray right. Think right. Everything is right. When God puts you through His wonderful, oh, I like healing. I like healing for the body. I like healing for the spirit and healing for the mind. And He offers all of it. I mean, He offers all of it. And when you come to God, you notice the difference. You just get in the presence of God, you feel clean. You remember the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. The Bible said Jesus went to Jericho. Everybody said Jesus come to Monroe one day. Everybody said He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Let's get this thing up to date. Has been, used to be, going to be. There's so many people preaching Moses that you ought to be preaching Christ. Moses in the graveyard. Are you hearing me? We got a lot of folks that spend their life rehearsing history. How it used to be. Bless God, I'll tell you right now, the way it used to be. Well, the way it used to be, it ought to be better now than it was then. If we've done any growing at all, we ought to know more now. I've picked cotton with these hands, and I know what it's like to have a bundle of money. We picked cotton in the pressing for 35 cents a hundred, and I'd have you know when payday rolled around, I had in mind that I was loaded with money. Hallelujah. It didn't take me long to learn that I was in the wrong cotton patch. And years ago, we were going north, had some folks with us. I'd never seen one of these things at work. I'd got out of the farming country, and I remembered the tractors and how many rows they could plant and plow all at the same time. And now then, here we come along, a cotton picker. A cotton picker. I looked at my hands, and they looked rusty. And as I, you know, they said, look at the hand, my hand looked new. Yes, God, I looked at that thing. I turned off the highway, and I told my wife, I'm going right up in front of it, and I'm going to get out and see what it does. And so help me God, Brother Shirty, that thing was picking cotton. And what am I saying? If you started out living for God, doing anything for God, God wants us to improve on what we've got. I said God wants our part of it to be done right. He give you 5 talents, you make 5 more. He give you 2, He said make 2 more, bless God. Amen and amen. That's up to us to do it. Lord, don't tell me about the cotton patch and the country boy and the plowing. I know too much about that as it is. And somebody said, you mean you're going out to face this cruel world? And my God, you just prayed to and just got the Holy Ghost. I said, that's right. I've got the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell everybody I see. And if they don't like it, I'll tell them again. Amen. And it worked. I said it worked. I was preaching on the streets of Jonesville. I showed somebody the other day, a young preacher. I said, son, long years ago when I was a teenager, I preached up and down these streets. And Winsboro, and Gilbert Wisner, and Harrisonburg, and Jonesville. How many more towns? I like street meetings. If they've gone out of style with you, too bad. They're still out there. They're more out there than there was back in them days. And they're still waiting for somebody to have a street service with them. Do you believe that Jesus still makes house calls?
Yes, sir.
Call him over at your house and see if he's too busy to get over there. Hello, church family. So I had preached Brother Shirty, and this old preacher walked up to me and he said, son, he said, now so-and-so. And so we backed off in them days. We went after it. No holds barred. And it wasn't long until I made him mad. And too bad when the word makes you mad. Well, I got happy. Amen. I knew I was right. You see, that's the difference. When you know you're right, you know you're right. Well, I'm talking about doing things in the right spirit now. Don't get that wrong. And he said, well, son, said, I was reading the Bible when you was on your mama's knee. I said, that's exactly right. 100% right. God said he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters prophesy. Old men dream dreams. And I said, I'm going to prophesy. And you can go home and take a nap if you want to. And that's as funny as it's going to get. Hear me. When the Spirit of God moves upon you, friend, it does a turnaround. When Jesus got a hold of that temple, he turned that thing upside down, inside out, and turned it around, and they began having church, bless God. Across this nation, your pastor right here has preached around this nation and across this country. And God only knows, Brother Shirty, how many churches that I've been to and camp meetings and conferences and from all over this country. And we walked into services, looked like everybody had the mumps or chicken pox or measles. And they didn't want to get close to one another. It's a contagious thing. And that kind of love, that kind of move of the Spirit, that kind of feeling wasn't there. Somebody had to get in and uproot it and break it down, turn it around, and get somebody's mind on the great God of heaven that could turn the thing around for you. Come on, church family. When God turned that thing around, he made a real church out of it.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. I'm beginning to feel my religion. All right. Work on your mind. Work on your spirit. And heal your spirit and mind. Work on your body. Thank God for men and women that still believe the word holiness is a good thing. Amen. I haven't went to seed on it. Many years ago, Brother Echols knocked me off of the holiness tree. He said, Brother Dunn, that's a broad word. It's a good word. And go ahead and use it. But he said, let's use Titus 2:11 and 12.
grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. You can't mistake that with a soap and water. When you are godly, friend, everybody knows it. I don't know if my daddy was living right now. I promise you, if he'd walk in that back door back there, they'd tell that we was a chip off the old block. And what's more than that, Brother Sheridan and Sister Sheridan know this. If my boy was to walk in, they'd know that was my son. And I'm trying to tell you something. When you're godly, you're a son of God, a daughter of God, you're born right, taught right, raised right, and trained right. There's something about this thing that just reflects out there. Oh, don't you know that's so right? Amen. Work on the body. God help us to keep our bodies clean. Keep our mind and spirit clean. And then for God to forgive you. Now, in the 12th chapter of this same book of Matthew, Jesus Christ volunteered and said He would forgive all manner of sin, except that blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't see why we have to go to church and leave, or any prayer meeting at home or wherever you are, and leave that prayer meeting with a guilty conscience. When they get quiet like this, are they listening? Oh, great. You're not asleep, are you? Everybody wave at me if you heard me. Thank you. Everything's all right then. Amen. Amen. And to think that divine helping agency is right there. You said it wrong? Repent of that thing. The first thing that bunch coming to church at Pentecost is told to repent to get in. And before then, John told them, repent before I'll baptize you. Then the church, when he closed it out, the book of Revelation, repent, 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 the church. Somebody said, Brother Dunn, can't you preach something else? No, I'm not tonight. I'm talking right down the line. God gave me this. I'm going to give it to you for a charge. Man, this is not going to cost you a thing. It's going to cost you something if you don't obey it. Come on. Everybody said hallelujah. To be forgiven, to be forgiven, to be forgiven. That's one of the greatest assurances and cleanness. You come from a prayer room. God, they read in the Bible about them two fellows went to pray, and one of them got down and he said, God, I want to tell you right now, I'm your favorite boy. Oh, I'm using my own words. I'll tell you one thing, said I pay my tithes. I do it right, boy. I do this and I. And he said, I'll tell you another thing. That poor fellow over there said, I'm sure glad I'm not like that devil. I'm using my words. You put yours to it. Boy, isn't that a way to approach God and get some good out of it? Well, he got through bragging on himself, and that's all he got. That other poor fellow, he didn't have enough courage to look up at that time. He happened to hear that prayer. It may be dangerous for you to listen to some people's prayer. Hello? You might better pay more attention to your own prayer. And he said, I want you to forgive me and have mercy on me. I've missed it. I'm a sinner. And the Bible said he went home justified. Now, it depends on when you come to the house of God and meet with God, His Spirit here, His glory here, His power here, what you're going to get out of the service to carry home. Then that's what's going to make you get out of the omission business and get into the real act of being a real witness for God. Let your light so shine. Don't you like that? So then, it's a great thing. I wish that I could wind this down in the next 2 hours, but I might. Now listen to this. If you're led by the Spirit, then you can be pestered. And that rebellious spirit, that spirit that cannot be taught, and a lying spirit will jump on you and you'll lie for no reason. And that stealing spirit will jump on you one of these days and make you tell you not to pay your tithes. We have a little thing at home, you know, company or no company, and I need the attention of my girl, and she's back down in the sewing room somewhere. If she's not too tied up, she'll be there. I say, Brother Dunn, that's the way. No, that's just our business. Amen.
Now, people that you can lead, people you can pastor, people that you can help. Oh, Lord, it's so healthy to have a good church family. I wouldn't want to be in a country. I mean to tell you, I've felt enough health and healing and deliverance and protection and everything goes with it. And this one service, I mean to just load you down with all kind of good things to talk about. And if you don't like the way I preach, we'll soon wear off. Amen, brother. Brother Pastor will be right with you. The Lord willing's already announced his intentions, and you help him carry out the plan. So then if you can be pastored, and then you can be fed, then if there's any subject matter, you don't have to get on the phone and call an answering service. You get on the phone and call your pastor. And I got a problem. You don't have to call, where is it, Tulsa, Oklahoma? Prayer Towers. I can imagine a man with the Holy Ghost, you know, trying to look up in the tower somewhere and the Holy Ghost is inside. He can always talk down to you, but you better not try talking down to him. You better talk up to him. Hello, church. I'm talking to you. When you can be pastored, you can be fed. And when you get on subject matter and you don't know whether it's right to do this and do that and do the other, it's not a wise idea to go down the street and find a backslider and agree with them. Dear God, they will agree with you anything against the church. And what did the book of Psalms, the first chapter, blessed he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly? Rather, when you walk in the counsel of men that's got the Holy Ghost and women, at first order of business, if you don't watch, they're going to say, look, let's pray. You employ that divine helping agent's first news, you know, you begin to feel whatever that is run up and down your back. It hit you a while ago. It sure had a funny effect on you. Woo! Amen. Amen. And I'm talking to you, the Holy Ghost, that divine helping agency, is right there on your shoulder. Come on. And it's there. And somebody said, well, why is the pastor so important? You can't be saved without one. That's why. You never would have had your sins remitted to start with if the pastor hadn't baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody better read their Bible if you don't believe that. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then John's account of that same sitting when he said, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. I'm not trying to convert nobody. I know what W.T. Hempfield preached 50-odd years ago. I've been around this thing all of my life. I was baptized the first time when I was about 4 or 5 years old. In Jesus' name. I don't know of nothing but people acting like they're intoxicated, half crazy, ready to run the aisles and scream and holler and step down and say, amen, God pour it on a little more. Somebody said, act crazy. I mean by that. The book said they thought they were drunk on new wine, and new wine will run you crazy. Don't you wish I'd finish this last point one more time? And now after all this, you can grow as big as you want to be in God. And I used it in my words. Now, somebody said to me one time, said, Brother Dunn, pick out two champions. One of them named Samson, and the other one, legions. Put them in a ring, and then you referee. I said, there wouldn't be no fight to it. There wouldn't be no contest. Samson, when the Spirit of God moved upon him, he'd have grabbed that guy with a big toe and made a yo-yo out of him. Lord, are you hearing me tell you? When you get the Holy Ghost, one old boy prayed through Brother Sherity down in our church. And he said, I feel like I'm 25 feet tall. I can tear this building all to pieces by myself. Man, you feel good when you get this experience. And the main thing for you to do is just stay in a place where you can feel good. And one of your five senses is your feelings. Amen? And I grant you tonight, I've experienced my That feeling's working overtime. And hearing is another. Seeing is another. And I like, Brother Shirdy, what I see. I love you. I love your people. Love your family. And we've claimed Brother Shirdy's our boy for a long time. You mistreat him, you're just like spitting in my face. Amen. Be good to him. Go that second mile. If you don't understand what he said, he'll repeat it for you. Don't you like to talk to a teacher that'll do that? Well, if you've got the Holy Ghost, the Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead, it will guide, it will teach, it will help, it will comfort, it will encourage you, it will deliver you, it will protect you. Well, just about everything you can think of you need is built in. So then the next thing to that, of course, is your pastor. Now, I've said enough about that, I guess, and it's about time for me to close the book. All of you look like you've got the Holy Ghost, but in case you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'd like to tell you this. This is a place, not only a filling station, but what I've preached to you, you can readily see it's a service station. God goes to work on the mind and the spirit. Come on. And then the body. And then He offers healing. I like to see men healed of their habits. And I've seen men delivered just like popping your finger. That was from drug addicts. I mean absolutely beyond the point of no return. And to just make the overall thing look worse, alcohol. Drugs, I can't even think the name of it. Oh, yes. And then nicotine on top of that. Huffing, puffing, staggering, and rolling, and whatever they were doing. The Holy Ghost come along and touched them, and oh, what a difference it made. I'm ready for you to stand. I wish tonight that everybody in this building would recognize the cold truth that Jesus Christ is here. He come here right in your midst. And He said, I will do anything you ask me to do. John 14. And anything that you ask Him to do tonight, if you can believe it, you'll leave here a happy man or woman. I beg you to accept Him as your doctor, as your great physician, as the one that can help your mind and your spirit and your body, and one that can save your soul and everything. One old preacher come from this church family, and he was preaching on oneness across this nation. I won't call his name. I don't know right now where he's at, even if he's living. And he began to preach on the oneness of God, and he said, when you come to think about it, Jesus Christ is the whole cheese. And I guess that's about as good a way to put it, that when the invisible was made visible, the invisible spoke the world into existence. But then when the invisible was made visible, then the visible said, I and my Father are one. And would you believe the visible part of God could count? He said, I and my Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Don't you like that? Now, He's here tonight. What do you need Him to do? Tell Him. Leave here happy man or happy woman. Leave here with feeling that you have met with Him and He's here tonight. Come on, leave here with a feeling that, well, if you said it wrong, He'll forgive you. Leave here with a feeling that you hurt somewhere, He'll heal you, thank God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Lift your hands and everybody love God together. Hallelujah. Praise God and praise God.